Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here is Mordecai Breenberg.
The idealized image of the university is as a place where people freely express, exchange, and explore diverse and contradictory ideas. But in the environment of war-making abroad, democratic rights here at home are increasingly being restricted, and this restriction is seen on university campuses as much as anywhere else. To explain recent administration restrictions on rights of expression and on police repression at York University, I'm joined on the phone by Sarah Dover. Sarah's a student at Osgoode Hall Law School at York and a member of the Osgoode Hall Activists Association. Good afternoon to you, Sarah.
Thanks, Mordecai.
Let's begin with the regulations that the York administration has introduced, I gather, in the last year or so to restrict the right to rally and to protest on campus. What are those regulations?
Well, in the wake of students becoming more active in raising the issues of ties between York University and corporations that are profiting from wars abroad, the administration brought in a series of presidential decrees, if you will, making it illegal, essentially, to protest without the permission of the administration, as well as illegal to protest in certain areas of the campus, in particular somewhere called Very Hall, which is our sort of town square inside, sort of the largest atrial space in York, and it's also illegal to use a bullhorn. So those people now seeking to protest on campus need to request the permission of the administration 20 days in advance. So you can see it's difficult to respond to current events, and the administration is unlikely to say yes to those protests that they're not wanting to happen.
I recall that at Concordia, in an effort to suppress student protest demonstrations, they also were levying security charges against the students if they organized events.
Well, the administration at York has made it very clear that they are extremely serious about cracking down on protest on campus. And they, on a regular basis now, they are calling in the police, and it's a policing division here in Toronto called Division 31. It's the same division that polices the Jane Finch Corridor. And they are known for their thuggery tactics, and the administration has called them in on several occasions. And just on January 20th, a number of students were beaten, one so badly they were hospitalized. The administration has also been using academic sanctions against students, even attempting to expel students. One student, Dan Freeman Malloy, was expelled with no process, and the courts deemed that York University had violated their own administrative practices and forced York to reinstate him.
Now, I mentioned Concordia as another place where this same tactic by administration is a similar tactic, anyways, being used. Are there other universities that you're aware of that are also setting very restrictive and arbitrary guidelines for the assembly of students?
Well, I think that the student movement is just beginning to sort of work together, and news of one another's oppression is beginning to circulate, so we understand we're hearing things about McGill and Carleton and other campuses. So I'm personally very hopeful that there will be a bit of a free speech movement on campuses. But you know, one of the things that we want to be very conscious of as we bring this issue to light to the public generally, as well as among one another, is that these are not issues that are restricted to campuses. Police repression and crackdown on freedom of expression are happening in the community more broadly. And so, you know, those of us that are campus activists need to make sure that we're working in solidarity and in cooperation with activists in the protest movement more generally that are also suffering a crackdown against freedom of expression on the same set of issues, as well as with communities that are suffering from the same bad policing that we are now experiencing on campus.
Now, you mentioned January 20th was an occasion, I understand, where students organized a rally as part of what were worldwide protests against George Bush, who on that day was being inaugurated for his second presidential term. Could you give us a little more information of what actually happened on York during that rally?
Sure. There was a protest called for Very Hall, which as I said, is a large atrial space at York University. And my guess is that there were probably just over 100 people that attended. And, you know, there were a number of speakers from using bullhorns and whatnot so everyone could hear. And at the end of the rally, as the crowd began to disperse, the police decided to attack and arrest what they had identified as the leaders. You know, whether or not they were actually the organizational leaders is another thing, but they were people who had spoken from the megaphones. So the police charged into the crowd and went to take down these individuals. And so, you know, shocked and fearful for people, other, you know, friends and protesters grabbed on to the people that were being dragged away, and billy clubs came out, and, you know, police fists flew. And right outside of where this was happening, there were about 10 police cars lined up. But instead of taking the people that, you know, the police had taken down, instead of taking them into the police cars, what they did was they dragged these people along a long corridor into a room that had been cleared of furniture and reserved by the York administration as a holding cell for activists. And three people were dragged into that room, and because of the violence and no warning by the police, etc., people were very fearful as to what the safety of those people inside were. So people were banging on the door, and the police opened up the door really quickly, grabbed two people, hauled them inside, and by accounts of those people who were then inside this holding room, one person was beaten so badly he was later hospitalized. So those were five people that were arrested in a devastating and sort of terrifying way on that particular day. Two other people were arrested later by the police, one because he had been identified as using a megaphone, and the other because he was accused of stealing a police hat, even though he had actually picked up that police hat and had taken it away from the scene and walked away and didn't stop walking until he got to the lost and found, where he turned the hat in. But he has been charged with theft under $5,000.
On the 25th of January, just 5 days later, there was another rally. This one related specifically to an event at the Osgoode Hall Law School where you're studying. Could you describe what that was about?
Sure, and I think that this event is really important in terms of revealing what the agenda of the administration is in bringing down these policies that crack down against freedom of expression, because the administration will use the excuse of, you know, trying to allow classes to continue and not to allow disruption from protest of student activities, those types of things. So what happened at Osgoode is very revealing. Osgoode is a small community, 900 people within the larger 50,000 York University, and it's located in a relatively small building. And Osgoode was announcing a partnership program with New York University, which will benefit only the richest of students at Osgoode. There's no financial assistance being offered. And in order to bring public relations value to this partnership, the dean, Patrick Monahan of Osgoode, invited Paul Cellucci to come and glad hand the event. And in order to protect the public relations visual inside the building so as to not to allow any protest within the vicinity of where invited media and guests of, you know, large corporations like BCE were brought in as VIPs, the dean called the police to lock down the building. And the building was locked down, and officers from Division 31 came and predictably manhandled students, intimidated students. I personally was told that there were at least 40,000 cops waiting for me back at the station. So it was a moment where the corporate security culture was revealed to law students, and the agenda of the administration in terms of protecting their public relations visual was revealed. And I think that another reason why this is really important is because as tuitions vault up in response to governments no longer supporting universities, you know, administrations are responding by trying to attract more and more corporate dollars in as through fundraising. And so that means that when corporations come onto campus, they expect to have, with their donations, to have purchased a public relations value. And when these corporations are war profiteers or tied to U.S. foreign policy or are controversial and attract protests, the administrations are now acting so as to protect what is essentially becoming private space.
So Paul Cellucci was is the outgoing U.S. ambassador to Canada, and he was the focal point of your protest, was he, because of U.S. policy?
Yes. Well, and Paul Cellucci has been extremely interventionist. He's been made remarkable in his post by his extremely interventionist tendencies with Canada. So the role of someone in his position representing the United States is to carry messages here and to take messages back. But he has, on occasion after occasion, you know, everything from marijuana laws to same-sex to Kyoto, has attempted to intervene in Canadian domestic policies.
It's a typical style of U.S. ambassadors. I know I go back and forth to Nicaragua, and you read the Nicaraguan press, and the ambassador there is constantly telling the Nicaraguan government what they should do on this or that issue. So I guess we're being treated in a similar status.
Well, sure. And I mean, people, I think Canadians across the country are extremely happy that Kyoto came into effect, you know, just 2 days ago. But I'll tell you, Paul Cellucci is pretty unhappy about that. And when Canada was contemplating its ratification, Cellucci did a media tour in Canada saying that the Canada-U.S. economic relationship would be devastated if Canada signed Kyoto. You know, that he's been fairly shameless and aggressive about promoting U.S. interests here. So a protest on campus is appropriate and called for, and the dean of Osgoode now recognizes that it was a bad idea to have Cellucci here, that he failed to appreciate how controversial Cellucci would be, even though, you know, the U.S. is in the middle of an illegal war in addition to the other controversial things that they have attracted.
What have been the responses of students, faculty at York to this repressive, restrictive actions of the administration and of the police beatings?
Well, on a local level, you know, at Osgoode, we immediately held an illegal rally just 3 days later, and it was the largest attended rally that I have ever witnessed at Osgoode, with probably a couple of hundred people, and you know, very active and excited. People are also participating in sort of inside pressuring of the administration to try and put in places that will curtail the administrative discretion in when calling the police, etc. But I have to say, Mordecai, there's been, you know, I don't wish the crackdown on freedom of expression on anyone at Osgoode or York or anywhere, but in response to having the police brutality revealed at Osgoode, it has now inspired students, it has galvanized students to reach out into the community around York that are subject to these policing tactics on a day-to-day basis. I think that Osgoode students in particular now understand that our liberty, if you will, in terms of freedom of expression, freedom from, you know, police thuggery as we go about in our protest activities, are well intertwined with the struggle for liberty for the community around York, where people, especially low-income, you know, black youth, are being targeted by the same police with the same policing activity. You know, so while that one day at York was a real shock to us law students in terms of how the police treated us, unfortunately it's not a shock to the youth around the area. So, you know, we've been galvanized to reach out to the community to ask for their support in our struggle and to offer whatever resources we can to them, including, you know, whatever legal resources we can provide so as to intertwine our struggles.
Well, that's very encouraging, and I want to thank you for taking the time this morning to share that information and your perspective.
Thank you so much for your interest, Mordecai.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Sarah Dover. She's a student at Osgoode Hall Law School, and she's also a member of the Osgoode Hall Activists Association.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.